Okay, we can get started then. Topic is Mary's relationship with the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ. So Jesus, the Son of Mary, is truly and substantially present in the consecrated host. That means when I'm a priest and when I lift up the host in the Mass, I say, this is my body, and lift up the chalice, okay, I say, this is my blood, then you have a really great miracle that happens. That bread is turned into the body of Christ, and the wine is turned into the blood of Christ. That's a huge miracle. And it happens every time that a priest celebrates the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So you're witnessing a great miracle every time you go to Mass. So you've got to be thankful. We want to ask Mary to heighten within us a real belief in what happens in the Mass. Real gratitude and ask for greater, greater faith every time we go to Mass. We're seeing the greatest miracle in the world. You have to have the eyes of faith to understand. If you don't have faith, it's just a piece of bread and a little bit of wine and nothing more. But if you have faith, that'll blow you away. So pray that you really believe. And that's part of consecration today, is we want to give ourselves to Mary, that Mary can bring us to Jesus. And Jesus is present in the Mass. So when you receive Holy Communion, you really receive Jesus into your heart. Nothing greater than that. Nothing greater than that. So your consecration on Saturday is you're giving yourself to Jesus, but through Mary. And if we're all called to become saints, St. Louis de Montfort says the easiest, quickest way to become a saint is through Mary. I want to go through Mary. I don't know about you. It's the quickest way. It's a shortcut. There was a shortcut to get to Jesus. So what a blessing, huh? Yeah. So this is one of the central and most important mysteries of our Catholic faith. Okay, so when I wrote this out for you, I tried to make a connection between Christmas, okay, Christmas and Bethlehem, and the Mass. Let's see if we can make that connection. Most of you know a little bit of Spanish. Some of you know a lot of Spanish. Okay. Christmas in Spanish is very different. Very different. Very different also in Italian. In Italian it's Natale. Spanish is Navidad. In French is Noel, but in English we have the word Christmas. That's a compound word. A compound word means there's two parts to the word. Christmas. Interesting, huh? See, right? So it's Christmas, the Mass of Christ. So every time we're celebrating Mass, we're really celebrating the birthday of Jesus. He's being born in my hands. Every time I say the words of consecration, he's being born. Jesus was born to Mary 2,000 years ago, but he's born in my hands and born in your heart every time you receive Holy Communion. What a blessing, huh? Yeah. Yeah. So Bethlehem. Bethlehem, see next to it, you have the words, House of Bread. So that's what Belen or Bethlehem means. It means house of bread. Isn't it interesting that Jesus, who says he's the bread of life, is going to be born in the house of bread? If you go to Mass, daily Mass, that's what we're reading the whole week in the daily Mass this week. third week of Easter. It's called the Bread of Life Discourse in John chapter 6. Time and time again, the priest is reading. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, and they died. But whoever eats the bread of life, they will have everlasting life. So how interesting the name and place where Jesus willed to be born, Bethlehem. As we said, the word from the language of Jesus, Aramaic, means house of bread. Mary brought forth Jesus in the stable of Bethlehem, the house of bread. In his public ministry, Jesus preached a brilliant sermon in the synagogue of Capernaum. And the theme was nothing other than the bread of life. So he was born in the house of bread, was now declaring one of his titles, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have eternal life. And I'll raise him up on the last day. Hunger for God. Jesus, the bread of life. The human person has both body and soul. An undernourished body suffers physical malnutrition. An undernourished soul suffers spiritual malnutrition. And can even die of spiritual anorexia. Turn to Mary and beg her for a very special grace in this meditation, the grace to have an ardent hunger and thirst for Jesus, who is truly the bread of life. Do you know what anorexia is? Never heard the word anorexia? Anorexia, it's a psychological sickness. And often it's present among teenage girls that are maybe 18 or 19. And it's a psychological sickness because they believe that they're overweight. But they're not. They look in the mirror, boy, I really look like I'm fat, and they're very skinny, you know? And what happens is they eat less and less, such that their stomach shrinks, okay? And the stomach shrinks, cannot get any more food into their stomach, so they have to be fed intravenously. And once they reject that, then they actually die of hunger. When I was your age, many years ago, there was a very famous singer. I think it was probably female singer had the most beautiful voice, I think, in the world. My opinion, no? And her name was Karen Carpenter, okay? Maybe the older catechists have heard that name, okay? Karen Carpenter, she actually sang with her brother. And she was a beautiful young woman, and she had a really beautiful voice. But she felt that she was fat, and she wasn't fat at all. And she ate less and less. And then she became really weak, couldn't eat anymore, and she died of anorexia when I think she was in her mid-40s. So, kind of sad. See if you can get the connection I'm making between physical anorexia and spiritual anorexia. So physical anorexia is you're dying physically because you do not nourish yourself. What about spiritual anorexia? Spiritual anorexia would be Catholics that don't nourish their souls spiritually. What would that be? Well, you're Catholic, you mean you don't pray, you don't think about God, you never read the Bible, never read the life of a saint. Maybe you don't go to church on Sunday. Or if you go to church on Sunday, then you're kind of like a third string soccer player. You're called a bench warmer. Caliente banca in Spanish. Huh? You're just kind of there like a bump on a log. No? So you're actually dying spiritually. You've got spiritual anorexia. Yep. And there's a lot of most Catholics today are dying of spiritual anorexia. Most Catholics, at least 75% of the Catholics today, they have that terrible spiritual malady. It's called spiritual anorexia. Because 75% don't even go to church on Sunday. How are we going to receive the communion? They're staying in their home all Sunday watching TV. So we're actually dying of spiritual anorexia. And they're filling themselves up with things that really don't satisfy. Because only God can give us true happiness. Only God can. So you can buy pleasure. You got money, you can buy pleasure. But you can't buy happiness. Happiness comes from God. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, happiness. So you get close to Mary, and Mary's going to bring you to Jesus, and you're going to be joyful. Yeah. If we don't experience joy in the depths of our heart, we're probably going to start to turn to drugs, probably, sooner or later. Maybe drinking. Maybe sexual immorality. Sooner or later, one of those devils are going to go after you. Because you can't live always sad. And you fill yourself up with a false God. Either you love the true God, or you're going to fall in love with a false God. That's called idolatry. Idolatry, yeah. What is idolatry? It's falling in love with a false God. So Mary can help us to get close to Jesus. He can give a lot of joy. A lot of joy come from Jesus through Mary. Okay, I'd like to jump down to the bottom of the page, and have any of you ever heard of a Lady Guadalupe? No? None of you? You know, I've often thought that the Mexicans should be the experts in a Lady Guadalupe, I would think. Because she appeared in Mexico, right? She'd be the experts. Did you ever hear of Juan Diego? You know, Juan Diego, he walked about 10 miles to go to church. So walking to here to Pico Rivera, you know, hitting the 605. It's a long walk, isn't it? I ran cross country, and I once ran 12 miles when I was about your age. I was tired after running those 12 miles. But I didn't do it every day, you know. You know how old the people lived in Mexico in the 16th century? Most lived to be about 40, maybe the age of your mom. Now how old Juan Diego was? 57. So he already lived way beyond. He's going to live to be into his 70s, but he's walking to church where he's going to meet our lady. He's walking 10 miles to church and then 10 miles coming back. So that's 10 plus 10, I think that's 20, isn't it? No? It's a long walk, isn't it? You know why? He was walking because he wanted to go to church and he wanted to receive Holy Communion. Mary wanted that. Mary wanted him to go to church to learn his catechism. Because he was converted later on in his life. No? Yeah. We're in our car for five hours with her mom. We start to complain. We want the music on. We want to drink our Coca-Cola. No? We complain because the air conditioning is not working. No? We're kind of spoiled, huh? This guy walked. He didn't even have sandals. You know, sandals back then was a sign of richness. When I was your age, sandals was like the hippie generation. But back then, having sandals were those who had more money. So Juan Diego, I think, is a real example for us. He walked to encounter Mary, but he walked to encounter Jesus in the church. So here's I wrote the three most famous approved Marian apparitions. Okay, one is Guadalupe, another is Lourdes, another is Fatima. Those are the three most famous Marian approved apparitions. But you know, they're all Eucharistic. Yep. So my purpose in writing this is showing you when Mary appears, it's always to bring people to Jesus. Yeah. Mary's not seeking her own honor and glory. She's always trying to magnify Jesus. Mary speaks seven times in the Bible. But the longest time she speaks is called her Magnificat. And she says, you know what she says? My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So Mary says, my soul proclaims the greatness of God. So Mary is magnifying, or in the Latin, magnify. My soul magnifies the Lord. And the spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Now let me tell you one thing that the devil does. Now, you probably have some maybe uncle or aunt, maybe even your father, that doesn't have devotion to Mary. So one of the things that the devil does is the devil convinces you not to pray to Mary and to love Mary, you're in danger. I think all of you have maybe someone in your family maybe has left the Catholic faith and has become maybe a born-again Christian or maybe Jehovah's Witness or maybe a Mormon or some other religion. And you talk about Mary, they get angry. Right? They get angry. And you start to talk bad against Mary. That's exactly what the devil wants. And I'll give you the reason why. When you die, as soon as you die, what's going to happen? Right away you go before Jesus Christ. In a split second. As soon as you die, your soul leaves your body. Right away you go before Jesus and he's going to judge you. What would happen if you go before Jesus? You go before Jesus and you hated his mother. Wow. Wow. I think that's scary. Don't you? You think that's scary? Or I'll give you an example. I invite you to my birthday party. And some of you have big families, but I have a bigger family than probably most of you. Nine of us. My mom has 39 grandchildren. Especially for American family, that's a pretty big family, isn't it? No? Huge family, right? So I invite you to meet. And I have a lot of nephews and nieces about your age, all over the place. You come and you're sitting down, you're talking with one of my brothers, my sister, you're talking with one of my nieces, that's the age of you girls. No? And one of my brothers presents you to my mother, and you say, I don't want to talk with her. I don't want to talk with Mrs. Broom. No, I don't like her. You get her. Go in the closet. No. Wow. You're going to have a lot of people that are going to be really angry at you. Who? her 9 children and her 39 grandchildren, they're going to be really angry. Because by rejecting my mother, you reject us. You would reject her grandchildren, right? Right? So we don't want that to happen on the day of judgment. If we reject Mary, we go before Jesus, and you say, Jesus, I love you, but I really hate your mother. Wow. Whew. What Jesus going to say? Look. You can say, you're going to hell. You can't be in heaven if you hate Mary. You can't. I was just listening to a talk by St. Hilary and St. Louis de Montfort, and St. Hilary the Great says that if you have love for Mary, you're going to get into heaven. That's why I'm hoping that when you're 75, 80, maybe you've had, your life hasn't been that good. But if you love Mary, Mary's going to get you to heaven. I believe it. That's the purpose of this consecration. 10 minutes ago, I was listening to, any of the catechists ever read the life of St. Gemma Galgani? Fascinating life. St. Gemma Galgani was a passionist stigmatist who had visions of Jesus. And she prayed a lot for the conversion of really bad sinners. So when she lived, there was a very, very famous mason who hated God. And he committed many, 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 many sins. And St. Gemma prayed to Jesus for this man. And Jesus said, no, this man has committed so many sins, he's rejected all the graces you can imagine. So Jesus disappeared. And Gemma kept praying, Lord, I beg you, please convert this sinner. And Jesus said, no, he's rejected all the graces I've sent. He's committed many, many, many sins, and he's never tried to open up his heart to me. So Gemma keeps praying, and Jesus says, no. And then St. Gemma said this, well, Lord, if you're not going to convert him, I'm going to talk to your mother. And Jesus said, in that circumstance, I can't resist. Converted. In that moment, the man went to a priest and told the priest he wanted to go to confession. He went to confession and he died in a state of grace. Power of Mary. Love that story. St. Gemma Galgani. That's just one of many stories that sees the power of Mary to convert the most hardened sinners. So this is the purpose. You're going to be giving yourself on Saturday, you're going to be giving yourself to Jesus through Mary. You're going to be giving your whole life to Mary. Your past, your present, your future, your successes, your failures, your fears, your desires, your dreams, all that you have, all that you are, you're going to give it to Mary. And that should give you a lot of peace. Because you're in good hands with Mary. Mary will watch over you. That means everything you do, you want to give it to Mary. Have a tough day? Talk to Mary. Have a good day? Talk to Mary. Have some fear? Talk to Mary. Have some struggle? Talk to Mary. Got to pass a test? Talk to Mary. Got to apply to some college? Talk to Mary. You want to give yourself constantly to Mary. And Mary will just give you so many graces. You believe it? It's true. She'll give you so many graces. Okay, so let's we talked about Guadalupe. Let's turn the page. And there on page 3, you have two other Marian apparitions. I like to explain them in my own words. Okay, see the picture on the right? See there on the right? That picture is Our Lady of Lourdes. See the little girl? The little girl, her name is Bernadette. So Mary appeared to that little girl in 1858, and she appeared 18 times. Okay, 18 times. And she finally revealed her name to Mary after the 18th time, and she said, "Je suis l'Immaculée Conception." She spoke in French. "Je suis l'Immaculée Conception." I am the Immaculate Conception. And what did Our Lady ask of Bernadette? She asked that a church would be built. What did Our Lady ask of Juan Diego? That a church would be built. And a church was built. Look at the picture below. What do you see there? You see there's an angel, right? What is the angel doing? The angel has what? Has a host in his hand, and what else? A chalice. So before Our Lady appeared to the children in Fatima, what happened was the angel appeared, the guardian angel appeared to the children three times. And the third time the angel appeared, the angel was in the air, and above the angel was a host and a chalice. And the angel gave the first communion to those three little children. So Jacinta and Francisco received their first communion from the angel. They drank from the chalice. And Lucia received the host. That is incredible that they made their first communion from the hands of an angel. Then, the following year, 1917, Our Lady of Fatima appeared to the children six times. And she wanted the church to be built also. So if you ever go to Fatima, Portugal, you see this big majestic church, which is built upon the request of Mary. Okay, now turn. Well, you turn now to page 4. Okay, let's go to the middle of the page. Essential Marian message and conversation with Mary. As we head on our journey of consecration of our whole self to Jesus through the person of Mary, his mother and ours, we have read, meditated upon, and prayed over another Marian dimension. Mary and a relationship with Jesus, truly and substantially present in the Most Holy Eucharist. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. To love Our Lady is to love Jesus. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said that He would be with us always, even until the end of time. If He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father until He comes to judge the living and the dead, then where is Jesus? The response is, He's in His mystical body, the Catholic Church, and most especially in the sacraments. And the greatest of all the sacraments is the Most Holy Eucharist. As you conclude this Marian Eucharistic meditation, turn now to the Blessed Virgin Mary in humble but trustful prayer. Beg Our Lady, who brought forth Jesus to the world in Bethlehem, the house of bread, for the grace to have a heightened and enhanced awareness of the Eucharistic presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, the Mass and Holy Communion. Beg Our Lady for burning desire to receive Jesus, if possible, even every day. O Lady of the Eucharist, grant me hunger for Jesus, the bread of life, the only one who can truly satisfy the deepest hunger and thirst in my heart. Amen. Okay, pull out your pencils. Okay, first, I'd like to ask a question that I asked yesterday. I was somewhat taken aback. Do any of you know why we make a genuflection? None of the students could tell me yesterday. I was kind of taken aback, no? I felt in a certain sense that I kind of failed as a catechist. Oh boy, they don't know what this, they don't know either. Okay, well, okay. So I think I should tell you this. You make a genuflection, you don't make it here because there's nothing in the tabernacle. But if you go in the big church, on the altar you have what is called the monstrance. In the monstrance you have the host that's consecrated. Even when the monstrance is taken away, in the tabernacle, right here you see the tabernacle is open, you see there's no red light. But in the new church, on the altar, you have either the monstrance presence or you have the tabernacle. And the red light is burning bright, except for Good Friday and Holy Saturday. So when you come in, this is what you're supposed to do with your right knee. You go all the way down to the ground. Okay, that's called a genuflection. Now you should know that. No one knew that yesterday, and I was kind of taken aback. No. So every time you go into the church, you should know that in the center of the church, there's Jesus present in the tabernacle, and Jesus is God. Okay. So when I lift up the host, or Father Larry, the other priest, that host is turned into God. We place him either on the altar, or we push him on, we leave him in the tabernacle. So you have to come in the church there, and you make a good genuflection, okay? So you take your right knee, and you go all the way down to the ground. You hear that? Hello? You know, that has to be done. Otherwise, you question whether or not you're Catholics or not. If you were to go in front of a king in the Middle Ages, and that was done in front of a king, you'd be thrown in the dungeon and they'd cut your head off in the Middle Ages, because you would show your respect for the king by making this genuflection. So Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So make sure that when you walk in front of our Lord, in the church, you're showing him the greatest reverence and respect. You hear me? Hello? The greatest reverence and respect when you're walking in front of Jesus Christ, you make that genuflection, you go all the way down to the ground with your right knee. You don't have to make the sign of the cross. You put your hand over your heart, and you go all the way down. By doing that, you're saying, Jesus, I believe in you, and I love you, and you're my God and Savior. So Mary's going to help us to cultivate a heightened awareness of where Jesus is. If we love Mary, we're going to have great reverence and respect for Jesus and his mystical body, most specifically within the Eucharist. Okay, hear me? Hello? Okay. So, look at the picture. See the picture? The picture's worth more than 1,000 words, right? What's there? The priest is lifting up the host, and you see the host, every time the priest lifts up the host, that's what's really happening. Jesus is present on the cross. And he's offering himself to God the Father for the salvation of the world in every Mass. That's why you have the cross on the wall. The reason why you have the cross on the wall is because when the priest lifts up the host, you don't really see it physically, but it's really happening that host is being turned into Jesus there on the cross. And Jesus on the cross is saying, God the Father, have mercy on the whole world. That's happening in every Mass. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. So number one, get out your pencil and write this in. Jesus, the Son of Mary, is truly and substantially, write it in there, present in the consecrated host. The Most Holy Eucharist is, what are those four words? Hopefully you've memorized them by now. What are those first two words? You should know that by now. Hello? Okay, body and blood. The Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity. of Jesus. This is one of the central and most important mysteries of the Catholic faith. Number two, how interesting the name and place where Jesus willed to be born, Bethlehem. This is one of the central and most important mysteries of our Catholic faith. So, the word from the language of Jesus, Aramaic, actually means... We read it half an hour ago, means house of bread. House of bread. He was born in the house of bread, meaning Bethlehem declared one of his titles, I am the Hello? I am what? I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have eternal life. Now I'll raise him up on the last day. That's taken from John chapter 6. The human person has both what? Body and soul. An undernourished body suffers physical malnutrition. An undernourished soul suffers spiritual malnutrition and can even die of spiritual anorexia, as we said. Turn to Mary and beg her for the grace to have an ardent, hunger and thirst for Jesus, who is truly the bread of life. St. Thomas Aquinas states that one of the most important conditions for receiving communion well is hunger and thirst for him. That's Thomas Aquinas, a great saint who wrote beautiful hymns on the Eucharist. When Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to St. Juan Diego, she insisted that he beg the bishop that a church be built over the site of the apparitions in Tepeyac. None of you have ever been to Mexico to visit Our Lady Guadalupe? None of you? I'm shocked. None of you have been to Mexico. I've been there four times already, no? Maybe one day you'll go to see the beautiful Basilica of Our Lady Guadalupe. Do you know the most visited church in the world? Do you know what it is? St. Peter's. The second, Our Lady Guadalupe. Third, or Padre Pio. So those are the three most visited spiritual places in the world. No? St. Peter, where the Pope is. Then Our Lady Guadalupe is number two, then Padre Pio. A lot of people visit Padre Pio. That priest that had the stigmata for 50 years. So to honor Mary, but also that people would go to the church to attend what? Mass. And to receive Jesus and Holy Communion. Right, Jesus and Holy Communion. Turn the page. Lift up your mind and heart to Our Lady of Guadalupe and beg her for... What? Good, good. Love for the Mass and the Eucharist. And for great desire to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. Our Lady of Lourdes appeared 18 times to a little peasant girl, Bernadette Subiru. Similar to Mexico, Our Lady wanted a church built in Lourdes, France, so that people would come for healing and nourishment. That's the Marian church where there are the most miracles, more miracles in Lourdes than in Guadalupe. A lot of people that are They go there, they go to the miraculous water that has been flowing for 150 years, and they go down into that and they're healed. But most people are healed during the Eucharistic procession at night. Yeah, the Eucharistic procession at night, when the priest is blessing people with the Eucharist, that's when most miracles heal, come about. Water is fine, holy water is fine, but Jesus blessing us is much more powerful. Number 9, spiritually, healing comes about through the reception of the sacrament of, what? Good, confession. Confession. Nourishment comes about through the reception of the most, Holy Eucharist, the most Holy Eucharist, in Holy Mass. Beggar lady, for a deeper faith in the real, what? Real presence, the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Mass, Holy Eucharist, and Holy Communion. Number 11, Our Lady appeared in Fatima 6 times to 3 young children, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta, or Jacinta. However, of capital importance, in the year 1916, and what? An angel. An angel appeared to the children 3 times. In the last apparition, the angel appeared and suspended in the air were the... Look at the picture. What do you see in the picture? I already explained it. What do you see in that picture? What's suspended in the air? See that circle and that little cup? Would be the host and the chalice, yes. So the host and the chalice. The angel gave the sacred host to Lucia. Then the angel proceeded to give the... What? The chalice with the... with the precious blood of Jesus contained in it to both Francisco and Jacinta Marto. The chalice in biblical language refers most often to the reality of suffering. Any of you see the film of Mel Gibson, The Passion of Christ? Jesus in the garden there, and he's saying, Father, if it be possible, remove this chalice from me, but not my will, but your will be done. So chalice in biblical language refers to suffering. So these little children, they're going to receive their first communion. Within about 2 years, they're going to be dead. Yeah. They're going to be dead. And Pope Francis canonized these two little children about a year ago. They're among the youngest saints in the Catholic Church. They died only about 10 years old. So all of you can become saints. You're older than 10 years old, right? So if you want to become saints, you can. And the highway to holiness is you have to love Mary and you have to love Jesus. You do that, you're on the highway to holiness. You are. The highway. Not the byway, but the highway to holiness, okay? So next. Not too long after Our Lady of Fatima appeared to the children, God would take both Francisco and Jacinta to where? Where? To heaven. Take them to heaven by early deaths. Our Lady also asked that a, what? That a church be built that the people might be nourished always with the precious body and blood of her son. Our Lady of the Eucharist, grant me hunger. Grant me hunger for Jesus, the bread of life, the only one who can truly satisfy the deepest hunger and thirst in my heart. Amen. So we're going to say a closing prayer. Look at Our Lady of Guadalupe. We're going to say a closing prayer so that this Saturday at 11:30 will be your Mass of consecration. Invite your parents. In the course of this beautiful celebration, we're going to be giving you a scapular. You're going to be placing the scapular over your shoulder. You're going to be wearing the scapular always. You all know what a scapular is, right? No, you don't know, okay? Never heard of the word scapular, okay? This is a scapular. See? This is a scapular. So the scapular you wear, and this is the exterior sign that you belong to Mary. None of you have heard of a scapular before? No? So this is a scapular. So you wear this. This is your sign that you belong to Mary. So you're going to be wearing it always. Okay? And when you wake up in the morning, you're going to be saying a prayer of consecration to Mary in your Mass. And we've given you a very short prayer of consecration. And as soon as you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is you want to say that act of consecration. And then you want to kiss the scapular. Okay, now this scapular that I have, if you can you feel that? What do you feel? Feel something there? Okay, my mom made this scapular for me, and she sewed within it the miraculous medal and the medal of Saint Benedict. So I've got the miraculous medal and the medal of Saint Benedict, and I always wear this. So as soon as you wake up in the morning, you say you're at the consecration, and then you kiss your scapular. And then before you go to bed, say three Hail Marys, the act of consecration, and you kiss the scapular. So you start the day with Mary, and then you end the day with Mary. If you do that, your life is going to be, it's not that much, really. Then try to pray the rosary, too. But your life is really going to be much better if you're consecrated to Mary. The last thing I'd like to say is this. Both the boys and the girls, Mary, the Blessed Mother, loves you very much. You hear that? The Blessed Mother loves you very much. Now, I know that you're going to feel uncomfortable with this, but most of you would probably agree that the person that loves you most in this world is your mother. You know it. You know, your mother, she corrects you. Sometimes you get angry with her. You want her to say, get out of my life. You come from another generation. You come from another country. You don't understand me. But you know in the depths of your heart that your mother really loves you. And I have a mother that's 88 years old. I know my mom loves me. I know it, no? And I talk on the phone every 2 weeks. She always says, I love you. When I end my conversation with my mom. She's 88 years old, no? And I know that. And the fact that she says that, yeah, Mom, I love you too. Now, if your mother loves you, the Blessed Mother is your spiritual mother. She loves you a million times more. Do you believe that, Alejandro? Do you believe it? Now, your mom loves you, but the Blessed Mother loves you a million times more. You believe that? Hello? I mean, if you really believe that, and I'm not exaggerating, Mary really loves you. And you can always turn to her. That's why you have to have a nice picture of a lady in your room when you're... Sometimes when you're feeling really sad, you want to cry, go and offer your tears to Mary. That's a great prayer. It's a great prayer. Mary, sometimes she wants to gather your tears and give them to Jesus. It's a great prayer. Maybe the best. So that's the essence of consecration to Mary, is Mary really loves young people. You know, once Jesus was 12 or 13, like you guys, and he was lost. Remember that? He was lost for 3 days. How much Mary suffered. You couldn't find him for 3 days. And finally she found the temple. Well, what happened? She lost Jesus for 3 days. That would have been really tough. When you were a little girl, maybe you were lost for 3 minutes in the supermarket. Your mom almost had a heart attack, right? Right? You probably almost died, no? The 3 minutes seem to be like 3 centuries, no? So that's the last point, is that it's going to be a great day. Okay, it's shortly before Mother's Day, because Mother's Day is on Sunday, right? So it's a beautiful day. It's right before Mother's Day. And Mother's Day also is Mary's Day, because she's our spiritual mother. So I think it's a perfect day to be making our consecration to Mary. Okay, so God bless. And I think Agnello wants to say a couple of things to conclude. And then, well, Agnello, would you like to take the microphone? Okay. Okay, would you stand up? I'll give you my priestly blessing and a couple of more. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Thank you, Father. Can you sit here for a moment? Just a reminder that the service hours have been here for the last week. So if you have service hours, please do so to your teacher or to your office. Also, we are giving you a letter to your parents. Please make sure